Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, how about that? Your bracket isn't busted. You may still actually be alive in your pool because ain't no slipper I see. I don't see no Cinderellas. It's pretty much chuck, 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 chuck in the NCAA tournament. And welcome to the morning show, the Monday after. We are set for the Sweet 16 and... the Braves are home. Oh, what a day it's going to be. Hey, Hugh, what up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Does your bracket look like a crime scene?
No.
If it does, don't worry about it. Yours not the only one. And shout out to all the Duke fans, because last night I know that you were having heart palpitations, but your boy, was it Cam Reddish, was able to pull it out for you.
And boy, I tell you what happened last night with Duke. That game was everything March Madness is supposed to be. Well, both the Iowa-Tennessee and then the Duke and UCF games, that was March Madness. For a tournament that was, you know, up until that Iowa-Tennessee game, for the most part, the tournament had been, eh. And Tennessee's just killing Iowa, and I'm like, eh, Duke's going to kill the UCF. And all of a sudden, Iowa makes this incredible comeback. And the next thing you know, Hugh, we're sitting around watching, could Duke actually, and they should have lost. That ball rolls out.
No, you know what, though, John? Big-time players make big-time plays and big-time moments, and that's what Zion did. Like, you know, you talk about how Taco Fall was, like, the big guy, and, you know, Zion ended up with, like, 32 points and 11 rebounds in that game. I mean, like, but that shot at the end, when he took the charge from, when he ran into Taco,
uh-huh.
And Taco got to his fifth foul, that was huge. That's
you know, here was my problem. I want to see Zion play, you know, because I love watching him play. But I found myself, and I couldn't have really cared less. I mean, I don't want Duke to win, but I also don't really hate it because I want to watch Zion. But I also wanted to watch Taco play more. Dude is like 12 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big dude. He's a big dude, man. But it was a great game, man. It was everything that you could possibly want from a tournament matchup. But you know what? I was like this. On one hand, I kind of wanted UCF to win. I really did. But then I thought about it. If UCF would have won, you know, we would have never heard the last of that. Even though, you know, they still had a lot of tournaments, still had a lot of basketball left to play. If UCF would have won, do you know how obnoxious UCF fans would have been? And I think it was last night somebody tweeted out Johnny Rutledge. Shout out to Johnny Rutledge. He said, you know, let UCF tell it they won. They won anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, let them tell it they won anyway.
Yeah, so, they might have been pretty obnoxious, but at the same time, you know, come on. Who doesn't want to watch this dude? I don't know. We'll have to ask more about it, whether or not. He wasn't even on the draft board, by the way. I couldn't find – he is on no draft board. But how could you not want him on your team? I mean, he's 7'12". I mean – oh, my God. He's fun to watch. You know, we didn't get to see – you know, I'll give credit. Oregon's doing this without Bol Bol.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that. And you know what? It's funny because I mentioned before the tournament started, I wonder why Oregon is not getting as much love as they should have gotten. They're still alive in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not have them. Honestly, I did not have them in my bracket. And I was reading somewhere – speaking of brackets, John, I got to find out where I saw this at. Or I heard this at. I think it was on the broadcast last night at the when they were doing it. It was Charles Barkley. I think it was Clark Kellogg, one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They said that in America right now, there are two brackets that are not busted.
Wow.
Like somebody has picked every game. Two people have picked every game perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, and I heard him say that, and I was looking for that. I haven't seen it yet, but I think I heard them say that. That there are two perfect brackets out there. And I don't know how they knew this. I don't know if it was one of the ESPN brackets. I don't know if it was one of our brackets. But there are two perfect brackets out there.
Well, of course, you know, it depends on which one we're talking about. According to NCAA.com, now NCAA.com says that, you know, these are different challenges. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not on ours. Nobody perfect in ours. But on the NCAA, their one, now this is not ESPN, this is NCAA, they have one perfect bracket. Out of the brackets that were at NCAA.com.
But think about that, right, though, John.
Wait a second. Let me amend this. Mm-hmm. Here's the story. This is NCAA.com. This is the I'm going to change this. I want to read this correctly. This is the fourth year we, NCAA.com, have tracked tens of millions of brackets from the largest online bracket games across the country. This is a compilation. I'm sorry. It's not the NCAA's. They've compiled it. ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, Fox, and Sports Illustrated. They've taken all of them, and they say that there's one that has been perfect so far. And that includes ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, Fox, and Sports Illustrated.
One. That's still amazing.
Yeah.
To pick some of the games and over the weekend and then to be perfect at this point, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and then they have this whole breakdown. You know, to have gotten gotten it all right so far, be 32 of 32 – you know, you'd have to have picked UC Irvine to go on that 14-0 run, and some other things that have to go right. Well, you know, I mean, again, you have to pick some of the upsets, and it's really a fairly non-chalky tournament, as we said. There's only one double-digit seed, so everybody else is top five or above. But, yeah, really interesting stuff. Well, a lot going on this Monday. It is a very busy day besides the Sweet 16 here at the Kia Studios with John and Hugh. The Braves are home tonight. They're back. The Atlanta Braves taking on the Cincinnati Reds this evening at SunTrust Park. This, of course, an exhibition game. The big news, Hugh, for the Braves, they'll play tonight against Cincinnati, then tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock against the Reds, take Wednesday off, and the season starts on Thursday night in Philadelphia. And for the Braves, the big news is they have announced their opening rotation for the first three games in Philadelphia. And that opening rotation, Julio Teheran, 21-year-old Bryce Wilson, and 25-year-old Kyle Wright.
Got to see what they could do. Got to see what they could do, John. And what better way to find out what you had than to just throw them in the fire? Isn't that what they said they did with Glavine and Smoltz? Didn't they say that they did that? Like, basically, they kind of threw them in the fire.
They kind of threw them in the fire.
And what did they say? They kind of struggled, but they benefited from that. So, hey, this might be the same thing. This might be a reincarnation of those two.
Well, that's what all you could hope. I mean, they sent Tukey down, mm-hmm. and then they sent him to AAA to try and find his game because Tukey had a bit of a rough spring. And so Bryce Wilson was, you know, I mean, Kyle Wright struggled at times too, but Bryce Wilson turns out to be the guy that's going to get first crack at this. We saw Kobe Allred come up and struggle a little bit last year. So at the moment, you know, we're still waiting for your pitchers to get healthy. You know, Sean Newcomb's in the rotation. He'll probably start the home opener against the Cubs next week. And right now in Philadelphia, you're going to have Julio Teheran and Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright. So we'll see. We'll see how all that kind of plays out. But the Braves are home tonight. And that's the other piece of big news. The Hawks, we'll talk about them. Trey Young, I'm going to tell you a little preview of a couple things we're going to talk about today. At 6:40, I'm going to try and make the case that Trey Young ought be the Rookie of the Year. Straight out. Just flat out beat Luka Doncic. Just flat out beat him. The Hawks had a really good weekend. guys, you got to slow your roll a little bit. Don't win too much, okay? Just saying.
You know what, at this point,
the stretch,
like,
don't
seriously,
too much.
I understand what you're saying because we're still in the ping pong challenge stage.
Yes,
but at the same time, you're seeing the maturation of your young point guard.
Oh.
And you're seeing, like, just think, John, about a month ago, there was no way on God's green earth, because I even said it, Trae Young's not the Rookie of the Year. He's not. And as the weeks progressed and we saw him play more and more, I was like, he got a shot. And it went from he got a shot to, okay, he may be co-Rookie of the Year, to he is hands down Rookie of the Year. But my only thing is this. We see it that way because we're here. We got boots on the ground. We're here in Atlanta. How do they see it nationally? Yeah, see, Daryl's over there clapping because
I know.
That's the thing,
it.
Man. It's like we have boots on the ground and we see this. And I'm pretty sure that by him having that buzzer beater against the Sixers, people saw that. But is that enough? Is that going to be enough? Is that going to be enough?
I don't know. I mean, I just know that Travis Schlake is sitting somewhere. He's probably sleeping right now or on a plane.
He's probably sleeping somewhere smiling.
Or he's sleeping on a plane,
yeah.
You know, heading back from the NCAA tournament somewhere. And we'll have him on tomorrow. We'll have to ask him about, you know, what it's like to be vindicated in a lot of ways by, you know, all those people who said, "What? I can't believe you traded Luka." Well, guess what, thick tongue? He traded Luka. He looks pretty good.
Come on now. We know Travis well enough to know what he's going to say.
Yeah, I know.
This is, you know, the guys, we're still not going to know, you know, what we have for a couple years. That's what he's saying to us because we're on the radio. But I know to his friends or something.
He's like,
he has to be. Yeah, you know, right. If he had a Twitter feed, he'd be telling all, he'd be going through his timeline looking at all those mean tweets that he got. And he probably got saying some real slick to him right about now.
Yeah, so a lot of headlines this morning on this Monday. Ron Hunter and Georgia State out of the tournament. Put up a good fight, but not enough. And Ron Hunter, of course, now you may by now know the news that he is leaving Georgia State. He is the new head coach at Tulane, and we wish Ron Hunter the very best. This is a huge, huge hole at Georgia State basketball. Don't know how they're going to fill it, Hugh. I really don't.
Nah, you know what the funny thing about it was? We were sitting there speculating whether or not Coach Hunter would get was too old to get a job somewhere.
Right, because he's 54.
Yeah, and obviously not.
Now, that wasn't us saying he was too old. That was some pundits who were saying maybe at age 54 because they tend to look for the younger coach and, you know, they're not necessarily looking for him. But we thought that he was, you know, going to be fine. I'm not really sure that I understand this 100%. I mean, I get it from he's probably making a lot more money.
That's
probably
what
doubled
I was about
his
to
salary.
Ask do you feel like you feel like this is a lateral move?
In a lot of ways, it's a lateral move to me. But I mean, but he probably doubled his salary. And at his age, if he got, you know, a doubling of his salary for his retirement, I mean, I think that that's probably something that he looked at and said, I can use that to retirement money. And I don't blame him in that regard. You know,
I'm trying to think about it. Tulane, Georgia State. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that much about Tulane, so that I could really say that it's a better school or what. But you know, it had to be something. If everything being equal, John, there had to be something there that made him decide to make this move. If it is considered for coaching a lateral move, there had to be something that was enticing to him.
Yeah, money
to make the. Yeah, well, you know, that's the most obvious thing, but it had to be something else. Because I'm pretty. I would think that with everything that he has done at Georgia State, that if Tulane came in and offered him some more money, that they would be willing to give it to him. And that's probably why.
Yeah, but I don't know how much more. I mean, if he's, you know, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if he was making, you know, $300,000 at Georgia State and Tulane offered you $700,000,
oh, that's a big old jump.
Yeah. And I'm not saying those are the figures. I'm just saying that that's probably ballpark fairly close. All right. How does your bracket look? Mine looks pretty darn good because there are no Cinderellas in the Sweet 16. None. Zero. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Versus the Cubs, Monday, April 1st.
Struck him out looking, and the Braves have won again. For exclusive Braves coverage, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The top seed Duke with a 77-76 lead. UCF inbounding on the side of the front court. Allen will trigger. Everybody in the building scanning, all 18,000. Allen looking. Gets it in up top to Taylor. 5 seconds. He's on the right wing. He drives inside. Leans in. Puts it up. No good. Tap back. No good by Dawkins. Duke rebounds. And the ball game is over. The Blue Devils escape. 77-66.
Westwood won with the call of the wild finish between Duke and UCF yesterday in the NCAA tournament. And the game of the tournament so far where Duke was down and Zion Williamson went right at Taco Fall and got a basket and the foul and then missed the free throw and then Duke got the rebound and the putback and UCF missed a tip at the – man, Hugh, how fortunes and history change when that tip – it could have gone either way and it just rolled out.
The basketball guys shined on Duke last night. And I was teasing some of the Duke fans last night and, you know, they were acting like they were like everybody was calm, and my man Beans, he's a Duke. I guess he's a Duke fan. He was like, either by inch or by mile, we still won. Man, whatever.
You
were sitting there having heart palpitations. Your heart was beating all fast. You was cussing and swearing at the TV, can't believe what was about to happen. And at the last few moments, it worked out for you. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the great thing was I don't know that we'll have another individual matchup as much fun to watch as Zion versus Taco. I mean, that was just great theater. I mean, this guy, if there's a Zion killer out there, it might be Taco Fall because, you know.
Well, size, yeah. But Taco did his thing. Taco had 32 points. And, you know, it's just one thing about it, John. When you got somebody that you're trying to tower over, that's that size, that's that height, it makes it hard for you to do your thing. But you could see Zion Williams' athleticism, man, and the way he was snatching down balls and stuff. Like, he's a beast. Like that's the thing about it. Like, you can have the size. It's one thing to have the size and the athleticism. That's what puts you on the next level. Mm-hmm. That's what Zion has.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, Zion is a phenomenal basketball player. And even though I don't want Duke to win, at the same time, I want to see him play. Just great theater. I just loved everything about it. Mike Krzyzewski, on the other hand, was a little bit shaken because I'll tell you what, Johnny Dawkins at UCF, right? Johnny Dawkins played himself into he made himself a lot of money yesterday.
He went toe to toe with a legend.
With a legend here, and after the game, Coach K even praised his former star player.
They played great, Johnny, Aubrey, holy mackerel! They were deserving of winning. We hung in there. We made a couple big plays here, and RJ and Zion, they willed us. And then we were lucky.
Yeah, they were lucky. And any other day, we'd be talking about Johnny's kid, Aubrey Dawkins, and what he was able to do in this game. Because Aubrey Dawkins, you know, he got a lot of people's attention. I mean, he was great.
Yeah, they were out there balling, man. And, you know, you're talking about a great coach UCF team. What really hurt them, though, was the fact that Taco got in foul trouble. And part of that was because Zion was just too athletic; couldn't stop him.
Right,
like you couldn't stop like that athleticism, John. You couldn't do nothing with that. It's hard to stop a guy like that.
Yeah, you wonder how many, how many times. I also wonder. Well, a couple of things I wonder. One is, you know, you must have gotten Taco into a lot more foul trouble. I'll admit I didn't watch a whole lot of UCF over the last 4 years that he was playing, mm-hmm. but you had. I don't know how you score against those guys when you go inside because he's such a game changer.
He's so big, man. You got to be on the move. Like fooling with a big guy like that, you had to be on the move.
So Zion Williamson advances along by the skin of their teeth. They advance along, and for Zion, a chance to make it back into the Sweet 16.
You know, Dawkins came flying in. I mean, when he tipped it, he turned on microseconds. And when that ball rolled around the rim, it looked like it was going in. You know, as Coach K talks about a lot with the basketball gods, they had our back tonight.
Yeah, they did have your back today. No question about that. So they hang on, and Duke advances along, and they will play in the Sweet 16 again. And they're really no Hugh, really no Cinderella. I don't see one in this tournament, and that's why you're getting a lot of brackets that are, you know, don't have a whole lot of red in them right now.
I would probably say by way of the double-digit seed, it would be Oregon. It would definitely be Oregon.
Yeah, but I you're right. I mean, they're the lowest seed. Are they really a Cinderella? It's almost like, look, you're from a Power 5 conference. You play your football team played in the college football playoff. I mean, it's not exactly like we're talking about Liberty or, you know, UCF
But you know, we were talking about it last week, and I mentioned the fact that I wonder why they weren't a higher seed because of Bo had been hurt for a while. So for them to be doing what they're doing without him,
mm-hmm.
I would say that's pretty impressive.
No, it's pretty impressive. It's just
you really can't call them the underdog. I guess you can't really say that they're underdog. 12, in this playoff.
Yeah, because you're Pac-12 tournament champion. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I hear you.
So you have of the 16 seeds, 12 are the top three seeds. They're all alive. I don't have the stat in front of me that the last time we got to the Sweet 16. That the top 12 seeds were all alive. I mean, that just that seems to me that does not happen, Hugh. We said it might be a chalky tournament, but all four number ones, it's all four number chalky. Twos, it's and super, all four number threes are here.
Super chalky.
Yeah. And so that, which gives us a matchup here in the Sweet 16 of really good teams. I mean, look who's here. You got the top 12 seeds, and you have Florida State and Virginia Tech out of the ACC's having a good tournament, by the way. And then you have Auburn as a fifth seed. Boy, Auburn never had the skin of its teeth, too. Whew, man, they could have lost.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to give you props, too, because you did kind of call that. Because when we were talking about doing your bracket, you did say something to the effect that you have a feeling that the SEC was going to make some noise in this tournament.
And
good call.
Well, but I think all the big conferences have. I mean, it's hard to argue that the ACC hasn't when you get all these ACC teams into the tournament. The SEC's got LSU and Auburn. You know, they got the big schools, Kentucky and Tennessee, right? I mean, so you got those big four. Yeah, it's everybody who's a powerhouse, right? And then the outlier, I guess, is Oregon as a 12 seed. But again, they're an outlier to what degree? I mean, they are the Pac-12 tournament champions, but that's what they are. So we're getting ready for now for the Sweet 16. And you look at some of these matchups in the Sweet 16, like Duke, Virginia Tech. That's kind of interesting.
That's going to be a pretty good matchup. I'll tell you another team that I wouldn't say surprised me, but the Houston Cougars. Houston Cougars got a pretty good basketball squad.
Davis is a player. You said, you know, if he didn't play against Georgia State, yeah. Georgia State had a – what did he have, 34?
Yeah.
I mean,
He's a beast. So they're going to – like, I know a lot of people feeling like Houston is going to be one of those teams that's probably going to be standing in the Final Four.
You may not like the fact that there's no Cinderella this year. There's no Loyola. There's no, you know, Virginia Commonwealth. There's no Wichita State. But I'll tell you what you may like is that these matchups that we're going to get in the Sweet 16, you mentioned Houston. How about Houston versus Kentucky? How about Auburn versus North Carolina? You know, I mean, we got some great – Gonzaga versus Florida State.
That's going to be a good one.
Michigan State versus LSU.
That's going to be must-see TV. Like, definitely must-see TV.
Michigan against Texas Tech. And, again, you want to watch Texas Tech because Culvert is a great player. And a lot of people have the Hawks taking Culvert with their first pick. So you want to check him out. He may be a Hawks star. Virginia versus Oregon.
But how about Purdue?
Purdue
beating Villanova.
Right.
That was pretty impressive.
Oh, they didn't
as well.
Beat Villanova. They destroyed Villanova.
And you saw the Villanova players. They were a little – I mean, I'm not laughing because I'm happy Villanova lost. I'm just saying that. You know, that was kind of a surprise to me.
Well, that was one of those draft things where they had Carson Edwards, who was the Big Ten player of the year, projected in the second round of the Hawks. And I kept thinking, I watched the Big Ten a lot because the wife's an Indiana fan. And I'm going, Carson Edwards is a second round pick. I'm going, Carson Edwards, the Big Ten player of the year. Carson Edwards – they had like Romeo Langford of Indiana going in the top 10 and Carson Edwards going in the second round. I was like, did you guys watch the Big Ten this year? Carson Edwards is a top 10 pick and Romeo Langford belongs in the second round. I don't think Carson Edwards is – I think Carson Edwards has played himself into the first round because he's really that good. So we'll see what they do. See, that's going to be a heck of a matchup. Purdue and Tennessee.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good
matchup. How about Tennessee almost gagging that game? I mean, they were up by 25 points.
Yeah, and Iowa – but you know what's funny? Because watching that game, it looked like, for the most part, that Tennessee was in control. And then Iowa just slowly chipped away at that lead that they had.
Well, they got on that roll, and you could see Tennessee gagging at that point.
Kind of surprised. Looked like they were a little bit surprised.
Yeah,
a little bit of that.
And so Tennessee manages to hang on in overtime against Iowa. And then you had North Carolina and Auburn. We mentioned that one, and Houston and Kentucky. So it's great. The field is set. We get the Sweet 16 coming up on Thursday. Going to be a lot of fun this week for college basketball. And yes, no Cinderella, but Hugh, the matchups are going to be fabulous. We're going to get the best of the best from college basketball. This could be as we get towards it and we keep talking about it, I think that this could be a Sweet 16 that everybody remembers. This could be a lights-out Sweet 16.
Yeah, and, Virginia's going to have their hands full with Oregon. I think the Kentucky and Houston game. That one, to me, is going to be very intriguing. That's going to be an intriguing game.
So, yeah, you've got 2-3 matchups,
1-4, 1-5s.
I mean,
1-12s.
Great.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah,
evenly matched teams if they got it right.
Yeah, Oregon is what amounts to a Cinderella, I guess. I mean, because
they're the lowest seed.
Right,
they're the absolute lowest seed, so you have to kind of give them props.
Yeah, but the way they played against Wisconsin and Irvine, you wonder if they were probably underseeded a little bit. You know, Pac-12 tournament champions, there's probably somebody in the Pac-12 saying, see, told you. You know, I mean.
Yeah, they didn't get a whole lot of love in this tourney.
No, they didn't get a lot of love.
They didn't get a whole lot of love.
And that's just partly because, the Pac-12 did not have a very good regular season either. So, again, the tournament is set for the Sweet 16 Thursday and Friday. And then, of course, we march on, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we get towards the Final Four, which will be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And your bracket is probably not busted. You know what's going to be funny this year is that you're going to probably have a lot of people get the Final Four right.
Chisholm.
All right, we're going to ask a question this morning. Is Trae Young the Rookie of the Year? Not co-Rookie of the Year, but is Trae Young the Rookie of the Year in the NBA? That's next with John and Hugh on this very busy Wild Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From Selection Sunday to the Big Dance, we cover it all because the NCAA plays here.
If I had described the playoffs in one word, the word would be precious.
Your home for March Madness is here.
For the win!
Oh! Catch our exclusive coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
He is the rookie of the year. Compared to all the rookies, he's playing unbelievable basketball. And we rely on him a lot, and he delivers a lot. And I don't know if anyone's played better basketball in their rookie season than he is, or anybody else over the last couple of years. The stuff he's doing, he's played in every single game. I just think there's a lot to be said about our growth as a team and how we've progressed and how he's been a major part of that.
That, of course, head coach Lloyd Pierce talking about and giving props to his young point guard, Trae Young. Welcome back to the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Monday. Hope you're having a safe drive in, and what a day it is. Sweet 16 to talk about. We'll have Clark Kellogg coming up later in the program. Mike Conley will be part of the program when he jumps in to talk about United, but right now we're talking about the Hawks. Since Christmas, all right, since Christmas, Trae Young has been the best rookie in the NBA. Now, before Christmas, Luka Doncic was the best rookie in the NBA. It's really close. They might end up co-rookie of the year in the NBA. But Hugh Douglas, for my money, if you had to make that trade all over again, I wouldn't even ask Dallas for its number one pick. I would have done it straight up.
Stop it, John. You're going off. No, it's worked out well. It's worked out well for Trae. You know, it's funny how you look at how far this young man has come as a player. We're talking about, I remember in training camp, or what was it called, the summer league,
mm-hmm.
when he looked horrible,
mm-hmm.
and people were talking about how horrible he looked, and how, you know, Travis Link was the worst guy on the planet because he picked the wrong guy and all this other stuff. And to see him from that to now, it's amazing. And you see the confidence that has built in this young man as a player. Like, he's at the point now, man, where he feels like, from what you see on the court, he feels like there's nothing that he can't do. And there's not a moment that's not too big for him. That's a huge jump in growth from the beginning of the season till now and 1 year. That's huge. So you have to look at that man, and you look at the road that he's traveled and what he's been through so far. You'd be like, yeah, he's a rookie of the year. But this is the problem that I have with that, John. It's like, we are here in Atlanta. We got boots on the ground. We see him every day. We get a chance to talk about him every day. The national sentiment might be totally different because of the fact that they don't see him every day.
Right, I get
and,
that.
You know, at the forefront of it all you heard about was Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this is not one of those things that's left up to the fans. No disrespect to the fans, but everybody doesn't get to see Trae Young the way that we get to see Trae Young here in Atlanta. So hopefully, you know, the NBA realizes that and, you know, they give him the props that he deserves.
Ah, but maybe that's changing because, hey, Abe, do you have that tweet? Can you break that out? The tweet that you shared with me right before the show. This is now. Say who the tweet is from, and walk me through it. Walk you through this like you just did me. I'll let you bring it up. And while you're looking for that, let me say that the other night, Trae not only hits the game winner against Philadelphia, but Trae Young has had five straight 30-plus and 10 rebound games. Okay, five straight, and joins only Steph Curry and Michael Jordan as the only other rookies to do that in the last 35 years of the NBA. That's the
impressive
kind of company he's keeping. Now, listen to this.
Impressive.
Listen to this tweet. Go ahead.
And that's great, man. That's great. I think that's going to be great for the city of Atlanta. I think it's going to be great for the Hawks. And as a player, when you see, like, I think what Trae Young is starting to do is this, John. And if I'm wrong, Daryl, please jump in. But you know how you talk about having players want to come play in Atlanta? Like, to have that guy want to come play in Atlanta. They're going to want to play because Trae Young's going to feature them. Like, Trae Young's going to get them the ball.
Right.
That's kind of what does it kind of feel like that to you, D? D shaking the head, yeah. It kind of feels like that. They're looking at him now and be like, damn, that young cat right there is playing unselfish, and he's going to get me the rock. He's playing like the point guards used to play back in the day. Like was it Magic? Guys like that? Who was it, Nash? Nash, kind of like that. He's that old school, I'm looking to distribute it first before I take the shot kind of dude. That's what it's kind of looking like.
This is why Travis Schlenk made the trade, because he said, Luka Doncic, he said before the draft, he said, right after the trade, Luka's a great player. He's a great player. And by the way, Luka Doncic is a great player. But you can get a 6'7 guys. You can't get point guards. And now you start to see why Travis said, again, 2 weeks ago to us, when he came to us and said, I don't know if we won't make a move next year into free agency, because I think we're closer than people realize. Look at the results. By the way, just as a little aside, of all the other uniforms that they have, the third uniforms, I do kind of like the gold ones, I have to say, a little bit. Those are kind of nice. Anyway, that has nothing to do with nothing. But with Trae Young and John Collins, if it's just those two, and it isn't, of course, it's Kevin Huerter too. I mean, look at how much they've grown with Kevin Huerter. The Hawks' future, if they can get lucky in this draft, and they get lucky, I don't think they get lucky, Hugh. Again, I don't believe the Hawks get lucky by getting the number one pick. That would be super luck. Mm-hmm. They get lucky by making sure that Dallas doesn't get a top five pick, so that if you have 5 and 7, I consider that to be just as long as you get Dallas's pick, because I think you've already, in a way, at the very least, the Doncic-Young trade is a push, at the very least, and if you get Dallas's number one pick, you win it by a mile.
Yeah. I think that it's important as well, John, is to make sure you get those complimentary pieces mm-hmm. and those later picks that you get. I mean, I really do. I like what it looks like it could potentially be, to the point that it's going to be one of those things where we might be looking at it hard. It's going to be hard to get Hawks tickets in a minute. Ain't? It's going to be hard to get Hawks
you
tickets
You have three in a second round picks. Would you draft Taco Fall?
No. I know you like him.
I would.
John.
Just for practice, guys.
Okay, damn it. We got to talk about this on the other side. Damn it, John.
All right, well, we got to talk about that. We'll get back to it. We'll circle back to this, okay? Come on, it'd be fun. Think of the picture of Taco Fall and Trae Young standing next to each other. Oh, it'd be great. Now, we have something else we got to talk about next, because the Braves are home. Chop on, brother. The Braves are back home, and they brought the kids with them. Ooh, yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.